Amen. Now let's move to Revelation 3. Now, there's something I want to bring out. Revelation 2, when we treated the restoration move of God, we said that in Mark 4, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the earth. Revelation chapter 2 speaks of four church ages. Revelation chapter 3 speaks of three church ages. The four in Revelation 2 is the planting and then the death of the church. But the one in Revelation 3 is speaking of the restoration of the church. What we're about to read now, from Revelation chapter 2, the entire Revelation chapter 2, we are seeing how the church died, how the church was completely taken over. But where we are going to now in Revelation chapter 3, we are now seeing the restoration move of God. There are three church ages mentioned in the book of Revelation 3. And these three, God did great things in these three church ages. It's in these three church ages that we have what we call the midnight cry. It's in these three church ages that we have what we call the shout. It's in these three church ages in Revelation chapter 3 that we see the restoration move of God. The church died. Everybody has these notes. Our study notes. I think everybody has it. Some people don't have it. Maybe you can go and get some for them. You will see something. I don't know. Can you zoom? We have the picture. If you can get the picture so that we can show the picture on the screen. Can you see? This is the restoration move of God. And we see this in Revelation chapter 3. We understand it. Now let's continue in church ages. Revelation 3 verse 1. What does it say?
And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, "This thing said he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works."
Okay, the church at where?
Sardis.
What is the meaning of Sardis? Who can help us? Sardis means the escaped ones. Praise the Lord. Escaped ones. Escaped ones. Escaped. Let me clean this. The escaped ones. Sardis, escaped ones. We said the name of each church is symbolic, is significant. It has to do with the spirit of that generation. Why the escaped ones? Because this is the generation of the reformation, the restoration. It is in this age we have what is known in history as the reformation. But to we student of the scripture, it is not reformation, it is called restoration. Praise the living God. The escaped ones. And it spans between AD 1517 to AD 1750. Praise the living God. Who was the angel to this church age? This is the most popular of them. Who? AD 1517 to 1750. Who was the angel, the messenger to this church? Martin Luther. Martin Luther. This is the age of what is known in history. You can Google this and research it. One way to help yourself is whenever you hear something. History. Our Bible is a living book. So a good student of the Bible must also be conversant with history. The Bible is the most prophetic book. And prophecies are made clear by events. Praise the Lord. One of the reasons you know the Bible is true is that when the Bible predicts, let me not say predicts, when the Bible prophesies or says something, it comes to pass. So you must know, you must be able to defend this book. There is no true student of the Bible that is not conversant with history. And thank God for our Android phone today. You don't need to, it's not something, just Google, you will see all these things. Today you can be a professor in your own bedroom. You don't need to go to any school. With Google, Oracle. You can be a professor in your bedroom. So anything you don't understand, Google it. You will see thousands of articles concerning them. This is the information age, such that even the uneducated person can be very informed. So please don't allow yourself to be caged. Don't allow yourself to be deformed. The reformation. I said something earlier about the Inquisition. I hope somebody will take note and go, and what is this Inquisition? This one is called Reformation. It is grammar. It is not a biblical language. It is a theological language. This is the age of what is known as the Reformation. Martin Luther is the messenger to this church age. Praise the living God. And the age lasts between AD 1517 to AD 1750. Now, let's move on. The seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou art living and thou art dead. Of course, we've seen the seven stars. That means Jesus is the one holding the seven angels in his right hand. He's the authority behind them. Jesus is the one that has the seven spirit of God. He has the fullness of the spirit. He receives not the spirit by measure. That is the meaning of he has the seven spirit of God. Not that God has seven spirits. God doesn't have seven spirits though. One way to understand it is seven is God's number of completion. So the moves of God in this period, the moves of the spirit of God is why I say the seven spirit of God before the throne of God. And now he's saying that Jesus has the seven spirit of God, means he has the spirit without measure. The fullness of the Godhead is in him. Me and you receive the Holy Ghost by measure. But Jesus, to prove that Jesus is really the temple of God, he's really God with us, he has the fullness of God in him. Praise the living God. And when we say fullness, let me not go into Godhead, but Jesus has the fullness of God in him. He's God with us. Hallelujah. You discover that Jesus did not commend this generation. Read it again. Verse 1, Revelation 3. Every other generation, every other church age, you will start with commendation. I know thy works. I know this. You have this. You are good. But this one, it starts with what? A rebuke. Are you observing it?
Yes.
A rebuke. Read it.
I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead.
Can you see it? You have a name, but you are living and you are dead. Why so? Now, let's talk about the Reformation and Martin Luther a little. We've treated this in the restoration move of God. We said that for so long a period of time, the Catholic Church became what was known as Christianity. Praise God. You and I don't know how blessed we are today. If you had lived in this time in history, you would have been under the bondage of the Catholic religion. We saw how the false church, the false, became identified, known as the original church, while the true church of God was underground, suffering persecution. Now, it is in this generation that the true believers protested against this Catholic Church. Praise the living God. What happened? Even Martin Luther, the messenger to this church age, who was he? He was a Catholic priest. He was a monk. There's a film about him on YouTube, Luther 2003, specifically Luther 2003. I've watched the film. It's very interesting. We've played it on Bright TV several times. Who was this? He was a Catholic priest who was, you know, doing all he can to make peace with God. He was a doctor in the Catholic fold, doctor of divinity. But he saw all the rubbish, all the evil works of this Catholic faith. He saw all the rubbish they had to do, where they removed the true works of salvation, the true formula for salvation. They replaced it and kept the people of God under bondage. For instance, the Bible says, by faith you are saved. You are saved by grace through faith. The Catholic Church removed the original apostolic faith and gave dead works to men. They brought in idolatry. Me and you are saved by our faith in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. But they removed it and said, you must be saved by works, by penance, by doing this, by doing that. And Luther was turning the word of God, and God enshrined in his heart the true revelation of salvation. Praise the living God. That the just shall live by faith. Are we following? God spoke to his heart and spoke to him and opened his eyes to see clearly that for you to be saved, you don't need all the rubbish that the Catholic faith is giving you. You need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for God so loved the world that he that believeth in his only begotten Son should not perish, but what? Have eternal life. And then Luther did not intend to start a church. That is why the word reformation is used. What is reform? Can anybody check the dictionary here? Bring out your phone and check your dictionary. What is the meaning of reform? He did not intend to start a church. Him and several others. They only wanted to correct the wrong practices of the Catholic Church. Praise God. For instance, penance. Where you pay for your sins. You know the implication of that thing. When you are offering penance, you are giving somebody the license to sin. I can pay for the punishment of the sins that I will commit in 20 years' time. So in other words, if I have money, let me pay now, let me go and live as I want. The church was using it to... The Catholic Church is the richest institution in the world, even up to now. The church was milking all of Europe through penance, through indulgences and other things. And these people who are studying the word of God felt that this church should be corrected. They saw this church, even themselves saw the Catholic Church as the only church. What's the meaning of reform? It's like you just checked your dictionary. Can you say it?
To put or change into an improved form or condition.
To make better. That's the meaning of reform. To correct. Praise the living God. So that was his own desire. There's something called the 95 Theses of Luther. 95 Theses. Theses is like what? Is it Theses or Thesis? Thesis, yeah, plural. Thesis of Luther. That's 95 points he had against the Catholic Church. He woke up one morning and went to nail it to his own church in Germany. Nailed it at the wall. And everybody came and saw it. And God, to know that this is a plan of God, just about 20 or 30 years before that time, they invented the printing press such that information could now be disseminated so fast. They invented the printing press with the Gutenberg printing press. Gutenberg, I don't know his first name, discovered the printing press. So if you want information to go far now, you can have something and it will be printed and everybody will receive it. Before, they were writing. Those are one of the jobs of those monks. They will copy the scrolls. It was to have a book in those days was something very, very serious and expensive. To have a book. Because they were handwritten. There was no printing press. They were handwritten. So you must copy from the original. So it was something serious. But with the invention of the printing press, it now became very easy and very cheap for people to have books. So God did it that way. The printing press was invented. Luther's 95 Theses was published everywhere. And people started saying, this is true, this is true, this is true. Problem started. Praise the living God. The Catholic Church, they wanted Luther to recant. What's the meaning of recant? Come and say what you did is wrong. Take back what you said and repent and say no. That you are wrong. Let the church forgive me. They wanted him to recant, but he never did. And the story goes, here and there, at the end of it, they protested and broke away from the Catholic Church. Now, Jesus is saying, I know thy works, that thou hast a name. For the first time in the history of mankind, a church is breaking free from the Catholic Church. It is something big, Abby. He said, you have a name that you are living, but what? You are dead. Revelation 3:1. Why is he using this language? This protest, this is where we have the word Protestant. How many of us know the meaning of Protestant? Protestant church. The Pentecostal church is a Protestant church. Protested from what? From the Catholic faith. Every other church other than the Catholic Church is a Protestant church. Do you understand? Every other church other than the Catholic Church is a Protestant church. And it started in this generation, this church age, Sardis, with the ministry of Martin Luther. What happened? Why is he saying that you have a name? Of course, now they are free from the Catholic Church. Is it not something good? People can now serve God as they want. Is it not something good? I don't know if you are following. People can now apply true faith in the Lord Jesus. People can put aside Mary that was not in the Bible. People can put aside all the praying to idols that they call saints, this and that, and serve God with simple faith. But why is Jesus saying that you have a name that you are living, you are dead? Why? Because the Reformation carried with it a lot of negative things. Many people protested the Catholic Church not because they wanted to serve God, but for political reasons. Are you understanding? The Catholic Church was ruling over Europe. The Catholic Church was more powerful than the Roman Emperor. It became known as the Holy Roman Empire. Praise the Lord. The Catholic Church could pull down kings and set up kings. We gave an example when we were tracing this topic earlier, that for a king, I don't know what a king refused to do. The Pope declared his throne, King of France, I can't remember which particular year, declared his throne vacant and freed all his subjects under him. In other words, I announced that this man is no more your king. The man became powerless. A king became powerless even on his throne. Praise the living God. Can you see the power of the Catholic Church? This man had to travel and go and beg the Pope and kiss his knee. Kiss his feet rather before the Pope could reinstate him, and then everybody became subjected to him again. So in other words, who was the real power? It's the Pope. It's this Catholic Church. Another time, a particular king insulted the Pope. The Pope did the same thing. This king had to travel in the snow, a journey, and stood at the gates for 2 days begging to have audience with the Pope. For you to know how powerful the Roman Catholic Church is. If the Catholic Church says they want your land, they will get your land. The popes were the popes were seen as God. Do you know the meaning of Vicar of Christ? Vicar of Christ. The representation of God, the image of Christ himself. The Pope was seen. The Catholic Church said that the church has power to change the word of God. They say God is not in his word, but God is in his church. Praise the living God. They were so powerful. They did not only control the souls of men, they controlled even the body. That's why in Revelation 18, he said, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Revelation chapter 17 verse, the last verse in Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17 verse 18. Let's read it. For you to understand this Catholic Church and why the Reformation, why the Protestant move, and why God is not happy with the protest. Revelation 17, 18 says what?
And the woman which thou sawest.
The woman, don't forget I told you a woman is a church. We get there. This is the Catholic Church. Is what?
Is that great city.
That great city called the Vatican City. That is the headquarters of the Catholic Church in the world. Is in Italy, Rome. Vatican City. Is what?
Which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
She doeth what?
She reigns over the kings of the earth.
Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Look at me. Forget conspiracy theory, Illuminati, Freemason, Church of Satan, all this rubbish that they're putting on the internet, that these people want to take over the world and rule. It is error. Read it again. Which city reigneth over the kings of the earth? Which city?
The Vatican City.
The Catholic Church. If there's anything about one world government or one world order, it is the Catholic Church. All these Illuminati and Freemasons, they'll tell you Church of Satan, this and that, this is their symbol, Obama is there, this one, all those things they are bullshit. There's no revelation behind it. They are conspiracy theories that have no revelational backing. The true revelation of the word of God says that the city that reigns over the earth is what? The Catholic Church, Vatican City. The Pope had power to pull down and to lift up. So people were tired of his rulership over them. The Protestant move, it was not just about the people that wanted to be free to serve God. The founder of the Anglican Church, Henry VIII, the king of England, Henry VIII, he was part of the protest also. Why did he protest the Catholic Church? He wanted to marry a woman. He had a wife. He wanted to marry another one. In fact, he had married her, but the Pope was declaring his marriage null and void. Because the first wife, Queen Catherine, is the brother to the Emperor of Rome, a subject to the king also, who is closer to the Pope than King Henry. So, in the European world, Western Europe, there was this marriage between kings and this thing, so that thrones can continue like that. Their succession can continue. a prince will marry a princess and all those things, fixed marriages like that. But he did not like Catherine, either because Catherine did not give him a son or something. I know the story. Just even before I became a Christian, I knew the story of Henry VIII, the Tudor. Praise the living God. He started the Anglican Church. They broke away from the Catholic Church, not because of anything spiritual. King Henry VIII broke away because of political reasons. So when he says you have a name that you are living, people will be thinking that people are breaking forth from this Catholic Church now. For spiritual reasons, men are free to serve God. But the Protestant move had a lot of political reasons. More of carnal reasons than spiritual reasons. That is why the Lord Jesus is saying that I know that you have a name that you are living. But in truth, you are what? Praise the living God. Are you understanding? You have a name that you are living, but in truth, you are dead. So it was nothing, there was no spiritual, and even Luther ended up in this web. He was entangled in this web of politics. Luther himself, if you read the story, his history. There was a war that up to date, the war is still seen as the worst war in the history of Germany, that claimed the lives of millions of peasants, of normal, ordinary people. And it was as a result of this Protestantism. They also wanted to break free and say, we will not allow landlords again, feudal lords and kings, nobody will reign over us, nobles again, we are going to be free. So it brought about a war. There were a lot of upheavals in the Protestant Reformation. That is why the Lord Jesus used that language. I'm talking history now, don't be bored, but it is to make us understand scriptures. That is why he used the language, you have a name that you are living, but you are dead. So they add a formality. Another reason is that the Protestant move did not complete the restoration of God, of the Word of God. Luther ended up starting a church, Lutheran. How many of us have heard of the Lutheran church? The Lutherans. What is the difference between the Lutherans and the Catholics? Other than Mary. Is it not the same ritualistic, formalistic way? Who has been to the Anglican church? Is it not the same ritualistic and formalistic way? Can you see that the Protestant Reformation did not achieve its true purpose? Are you understanding what I'm saying? All these Orthodox churches that broke away, is it not the same ritualistic and formalistic way? The only thing you might not see is Mary, use of the cross, and some other things. But you still see the move of the Holy Ghost. You not see the gifts. You still see all these, there are confirmation, infant baptism. You have a name that you are living, but you are dead. Praise the living God. Is it getting clear? Then verse 2, the admonition of the Lord Jesus.
Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found that thy work perfect before God.
Be watchful, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. I have not found thy works perfect before God. While man will be celebrating the Protestant Reformation, what was God saying? It was not perfect. Because he did not achieve his purpose. They politicized the Reformation. They made it more of an issue of breaking free from the Catholic Church economically, physically. It left the spiritual reason. Praise the living God. Before you knew it, if truly they were being restored to the Word of God, why are they not supposed to be united? Every country now started having their own protests, You hear of Zwingli, you hear of John Calvin, you hear of John Knox, and they will form their own church and form their own wall. Then the Christians even became more powerful. So, and there was more division. You will see this denomination fighting this denomination, this one fighting this one. It's all as a result of this Protestant Reformation. The work was not perfect. Praise God. The work was not perfect. They were formalistic. They were ritualistic. They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power. There were a lot of loose ends, and they led to the establishment of other denominations. In fact, this is where we see the children of Jezebel. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
This is where we actually see the children of Jezebel. Because before, it was only that woman, Jezebel. But it says she had children. It is here we see her. The denominations that came up became the children of Jezebel. Are we understanding?
Yes.
If you're understanding, say amen.
Amen.
Now let's move on. Verse 3.
Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee.
Remember therefore how thou hast had. Luther in sincerity was seeking to know God and serve him better. And God spoke to him that the just shall live by faith. But after the Protestant Reformation had started, he was entangled in the webs of politics. And him and many other reformers. The story of Luther is seen in Matthew 13:44. There's a parable in Matthew 13:44. Can we read it? Matthew 13 verse 44.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth 44. All.
And for and joy thereof, doeth what?
Therefore, goeth and selleth all that he had.
Thank
and
you.
Buy it that,
field. That man is Luther. He found a treasure hid in a field that the just shall live by faith. And he sold all he had, all his Catholic achievement and everything, and went to buy it. So remember how that was received, the little way they started from. And he said, repent. If you don't repent, I will come to thee as a thief, and you don't know what hour I will come. Verse 4. Verse 4, Revelation 3.
Thou hast a few names.
Thou hast what?
A few names. Even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white.
For they are worthy. I mean, even in the midst of this corruption, there were a few genuine, sincere believers. Do you understand that? Praise the living God. The Protestants, a lot of people protested Europe, millions. But out of these millions, he said, you have what? A few names. Praise the living God. So there were still a few element of people that were actually serving God in spirit and in truth. Who protested for the right reasons. Protesting is not bad, even in our physical world, but protest for the right reasons. Praise God. So if you are protesting for the right reason, he says you have a few names. Several people will complain about some deeds, maybe in a local church. This is a church there, this is that, this is that. What is the reason behind your complaint? For you to be right before God, are you actually complaining to poison the mind of others? Are you actually complaining to stumble others? Or is your complaint out of grief because you want things to be better? Be careful. If not, you'll say your works are not right before him. So he said, they shall walk with me in white. White is what? The color of what? Purity. So white is righteousness. Purity, righteousness is typified in white. Praise the living God. Like we asked last class, that why did he not say the bride of Christ is clothed in fine linen, clean and black? It's the same material now, but this time the linen is not white, it's black. And why is Satan always symbolized coming in black? But in actual sense, Satan comes in white. In actual sense, he comes in white. In fact, his white is very shiny. Hey, Satan's white is shiny. He says he transforms as an angel of light. So he doesn't come as black. Satan is not a beast. Satan is that brother. Satan can be that beautiful sister who is giving you eye. Sister, Satan can be that handsome man that is trying to seduce you. Satan comes in beautiful appearances. Praise the Lord. White, color of purity. Now, verse 5. Let's read verse 5.
He that overcometh
shall do what?
The same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Back to verse 4. The few names are the original spiritual church. Because even in this midst of the Reformation mess, the true believers are what is known as the blade. Mark chapter 4. Let's go to Mark 4 from verse 26 to 29. So those few names are the original spiritual church that despite all the politics going on in the Reformation age, these ones are known as the blade in the restoration move of God. Mark 4 from verse 26.
And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First, the blade.
Amen. Thank you. This is the restoration move of God. Many of you are not here when we treated this. We've treated this topic. We treated it for about 3 or 4 weeks. It is very loaded. This is the topic that makes us understand who we are as a church, Bride Assembly. And it also makes us understand where we are and why we say Christianity. You know, if you don't ask yourself questions, is this how Christianity was when it started? You will not understand better. So we've treated it. This blade is in this generation of Luther. Everybody that is in the class understands that. So the true spiritual church are the ones that came out of the blade in this generation. The earth bringer false fruit herself first the blade. They are the ones that did not defile their garments, that will walk with him in white. Now, verse 5 and 6, where we are reading. He that overcometh shall be clothed in what? You are seeing it again. In black raiment. No. It's written black in my Bible. Revelation 3, 5. What does it say? No, I thought it's red. Symbol of righteousness. The bride will never be in any color other than white. If you see a vision of the bride of Christ and you see her wearing red, run. I'll not be among the bride that wear red or yellow. It has to be white. Praise God. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. The reward for the overcomers. So can names be blotted out of the book of life? Somebody talk now. Can names be blotted out of the book of life? Why do you say so? But yeah, he's saying that we'll not blot out your name. That means names can be blotted out. Thank you. He's trying to tell you the certainty of eternal security. It's a language. The certainty of eternal security, I will not blot out his name. It's not trying, because you must see, understanding the book of life, if you understand what the book of life is, you'll be able to understand why we say names cannot be removed. Then you'll be able to say sorry for people that pray, Father, write their name in the book of life, cancel their name in the book of death, don't remove their name from the book of life. Several times ago, I read a book, Revelation of God's Righteous Judgment and Holiness, one something something. The person claimed to be a deeper life member, I don't know, sure. He said at the gate of heaven, there were two angels. I read it, I'm not insinuating. There are two angels with a very big book, and whether it's biro or whether it's a pen or pencil, he said, they were writing and cleaning, writing and cleaning, writing and cleaning. Say somebody should sin, they will cancel his name from the book of life. If you repent, they'll write your name at the gate of heaven. That's not the heaven I want to go to. Praise God. If you hear such, it's a lie. Praise God. Whatever the person saw something symbolic that he did not understand and is interpreting it as book of life. But I even doubt that entire revelation. I read another one, Heaven is So Real, one South Korean woman who said on Christmas Day, this was where the woman threw me off, that Jesus Christ appeared in a special robe and appeared to her and was rejoicing that the world is celebrating his birthday. Ah! God. When I got to that point, I knew that no, this one wants to work on my intelligence. Okay, she wants to say something. Another one was Robert Lyadon, I Saw Heaven. I read that one long ago. And we thought it was something true. Where he said in heaven, there are cars that we have not yet ridden in earth that is still there. If he said a friend that had died, I read these books. Please go and read them. I'm not exaggerating or insinuating. I read these things. Robert Lyadon said he visited that, he saw that his friend, he had a crown on him. One crown on him. Christians are not yet crowned. It is at the rapture that we shall be crowned kings. And we'll crown him the King of Kings. He said he saw him with the crown, then he took him into his apartment, his mansion in heaven, physical mansion. Two, the mansion is not a house. It's your glorious body. Don't go and look for one, or like one geo that said, God showed him a vision that's still building his mansion in heaven, very big. I don't call his name, but it's Daddy Geo. Praise God. Now, what happened? He said when he entered into that mansion of his friend, when he sat down on the chair, it was the most comfortable chair I ever sat on. Hey. Praise the Lord. All those things are false. Lyadon. No, but I have his books, God's Generals, and I'm blessed by those books. But you must follow. We are blessed. We are blessed. So don't be moved by all these things. I had a brother in the Lord then. Any book on I saw heaven, he likes to have it. And that's where you see all these funny revelations. Angel at the gate of heaven, writing and canceling. It is wrong. There's nothing like that. You wanted to say something, ma?
I just want you to throw more light on Psalm 69 verse 28.
Now, very good man, very good point.
He said, let
books. Thank you, read it.
He said, let them be plotted out of the book of the living.
The book of the living.
And not be written with
the righteous. And not be written with the righteous, thank you. Books. Books are for what? First question, books are for what? Records. Books are for records. Books are records. Let's go to Revelation 20. Books are for records. So you must understand something first. Revelation 20, verse 12. Thank you. Read verse 12.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life.
Books were what?
Opened.
There are books. There's another book called what? The book of life. Books can be records for anything. There might be a register here now for all of us attending Bible club. It's a book. Exodus 32, 32.
Yet now, if thou would forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast
written. Did he say book of life?
No.
Did he say Lamb's book of life?
No.
We've seen that there are different books. And there's another book called the book of life. The book are for records. If he says he will remove the name out of the book of the living, he's speaking of physical living. That means they will stop to live. Everybody alive, there's a record of every human being alive before God. When you stop living, your name is removed out of that book of the living. You are dead. Then yeah, God wrote the names of the children of Israel. They're going to inherit the land. He saw them as his people. That was why he told Moses to number the tribes of the children of Israel. There is a book. When he says, blot me out of that book, in other words, disinherit me. You have a book of your people. They are your inheritors on earth. Say, this book you have written. If you will not forgive your people. Now, let's go to that Exodus 32. Let's read from verse 1. So that we'll understand why. I posted a video on our group chat. How many of us watched the video? Some of us are not on our WhatsApp group. Okay, just you leave your number with Sister Ijoma. She will go around writing the names and numbers. She will go around writing if you are not on the group chat, so that we can add you to WhatsApp group. There was a video the pastor sent and I posted it on our group about how to study the Bible. You don't read out of context. It is this Exodus 32, 32 that people will read and say, why did Moses say, remove me out of the book? Did Moses say book of life? You must understand which book Moses is talking of. So you must start from verse 1. What happened? Praise the living God. Don't read out of context. My God shall supply all your need. Or okay, the one in that video is a short video. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. I cannot run from here to Nasarawa State through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the living God. I cannot stay without food for 40 days through Christ who strengthens me. I can't shall if Christ who strengthens me. I cannot marry two wives through Christ which strengthens me. Praise God. Christ will not strengthen me to marry two wives. You must understand in which context he was using that language. In verse 12 and 13 of that Philippians 4, he says, I know how to abase and how to abound. I know how to manage and how to live big. Then he ended up by saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, I can live small and I can live big by Christ who strengthens me. That is the context of that language. Now, Exodus 32, let's use the context. Let's read it.
32.
Yes. Read from verse 1 to 6. Just verse 1 to 6, Exodus 32. Let's read.
And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, we shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. Verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break of the golden earrings which are
read
in
verse
the ears.
Jump to verse 4.
Verse 4. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.
What happened here? We are familiar with this story. Everybody is familiar with it. When Moses went to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, before we come down, the children of Israel turned to Aaron and made molten calves. Now Moses was still with the children of Israel. Hear what God said from verse 7. Listen, read the context.
And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. For they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and they have worshipped it, and have sacrificed themselves, and said, this be thy God, O Israel, which have brought thee out.
Now from verse 9, follow.
And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen these people.
Can you hear?
And behold, it is a stiff-necked people.
Mm-hmm.
Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them.
And what will happen?
And that I may consume them.
I will do what?
I may consume
them. That
means
I will destroy them.
Yes, sir.
That's the removing out of his book. They will not be my people alone. And what will happen? I will make of you, Moses,
a great nation.
Now, if you go to verse 32, Moses was interceding. You say you will make me a great nation, but you will remove these people from your records that they are your nation. Moses is not telling God, if you will not forgive them, even me too, consume me with them. Do you understand? That remove my name from the book you have written. He's taking their punishment with them. He's standing with them. Praise God. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The context is Moses is bearing the same punishment with them. If you will not forgive these people, both me and them, consume us. So wherever you see books is not book of life. Another thing, there's a register called books in Israel. If you read the book of Numbers, he said, take the names, the numbers of everybody. Yes. Now, let's go to Ezra chapter 2. Ezra. You see the implication of not finding your name in the book. Ezra chapter 2. In Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 23. Before we go to Ezra, let's read something. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 2. What does it say?
A bastard shall not enter.
A what?
A bastard shall not enter into.
Who is a bastard? One that doesn't know his father. What will happen?
Shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord.
Thank you. God gave a law that a bastard, everybody in Israel, can trace their genealogy back to their father Abraham. They can trace their lineage. Everybody in Israel can trace their lineage. If you cannot trace your lineage, you cease to be an Israelite. That is, a bastard cannot be part of the congregation of Israel. So how are they able to trace their lineage? Books. There were records of names, even the lineage of the Lord Jesus. Both through Joseph and Mary, we see it in the Bible. He was the son of this. Who was the son of this? Who was the son of this? He's tracing it. There is a book that contains that name. Now, Ezra chapter 2.
Ezra
from verse 61.
2, verse 61. And of the children of the priests, the children of Abiah, the children of Koz, the children of
Barzillai,
which took a wife of daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite.
And was called after their name. Now read verse 62.
These sorts their register.
These sorts what?
Their register. These sorts their register.
Among. You didn't complete the statement. These sorts their register.
Among those that were reckoned by genealogy.
Uh-huh.
But they were not found.
Their names were not found in the register. They can't trace their genealogy. What happens?
Therefore were they as polluted.
Put from the priesthood. If you can't trace your lineage in Israel, you cannot call yourself, you can't be part of the Israelites. So there's the book for register. There's also another book for rewards. Praise God. There's also another book for rewards. And I think we see that in Malachi. Malachi 3, where it says a book of remembrance was opened for them. So books are for records. For you to understand the book, you must read the context. Now, the book of life, names cannot be taken away because it was written from the foundation of the world. Revelation 17, verse 8. Let's read it.
The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on earth shall wonder, mm-hmm. whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world.
When was the book written? Even before you and I were created. See, book of life, has nothing to do with any angel. It has nothing to do with any man. Book of Life has only to do with God. Praise God. The Book of Life is with God and God alone. Because through his foreknowledge, only him knows those that will be saved. And he wrote their name. He recorded their names. So the Book of Life is an attribute of God. It has nothing to do with any man. It has nothing to do with any angel. So anybody that is saying names are being written in the Book of Life, write it, doesn't understand God or doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. The Book of Life was written. It was because of the people that will be saved. He said Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. It was because of those people that necessitated the coming of Christ. So there is no, God is not writing any name now. Neither is he removing any name. It is these people that are called the foreknown ones. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So they are the ones that God is looking for. God is not writing any book now. He has finished writing his books before the foundation of the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody is sleeping in our class. She's sleeping or is she seeing vision? Okay, she's not sleeping. Praise the living God. Yes, Rahul Bong.
A short contribution. And there's a scripture.
Please, it's a club. You can contribute. Somebody might even have a deeper knowledge than what I'm saying. Share with us, please.
There's a scripture in Philippians 4. Philippians 4 verse 3.
Whose names Paul, are in the Book of Life?
Yes, Paul was saying that some people's name are in the Book of Life. He actually said so because of their character and the way they lived in church.
God bless you. And I entreat also through you, fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the Book of Life, because they are Christians. The evidence your name is in the Book of Life is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, which is reflected in your character. Praise God. So we can know whose names are in the Book of Life by their lifestyle that truly converted. Hallelujah. So he's talking of the certainty, the language in verse 5. I will not blot out his name. He's speaking of the certainty of eternal security. He's telling you that that name cannot be blotted out. He's not saying that whether there will be a decision, I'll remove or I'll not remove. He's speaking of the certainty of eternal security. Thank God we're already finishing church ages so that we can go to the Baptist. There are too many history in these church ages. Verse 6, the voice of the Spirit. He that hath and yet should hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Okay, we still have about 20-25 minutes. So let's quickly look at the sixth church age. What is the sixth church age? Revelations 3:7. What does it say?
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things said he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the key of David, he that openeth and no man shut it, and shut it and no man openeth.
Philadelphia. Am I getting the spelling correctly?
P-H-I-L-A.
P-H. Philadelphia. P-H-I. L-A, not E. Okay, L-A. All right, Philadelphia. So what is the meaning of Philadelphia? Brotherly love. Pardon? The family of love. Brotherly love. Philadelphia means brotherly love. And the time frame, the age spans between AD 1750 to 1906. Brotherly love. Who was the angel to this church age? It's something that we say regularly in this church. Anytime you hear pastor say Martin Luther, the next person you say is who? John Wesley. John Wesley was the messenger to this church age. Brotherly love. That's the meaning of Philadelphia. Brotherly love. Praise God. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. John Wesley was another very, very powerful man of God. And this particular church age is much beloved by God. Is much beloved by God. The work that was not completed in Sardis, the restoration work continued in Philadelphia and triumphed greatly. Praise the living God. Now let's see how Jesus Christ, this age is the second age of the restoration move of God. The restoration move of God are in four stages. Mark chapter 4 from verse 26. Let's take a parenthesis, a breather here. Mark 4, 26 to 29. Let's recap for those who are not here when we treated this, because I've been jumping it.
Mark 4, 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God.
So is the kingdom of God. Pause. The kingdom of God is speaking of the church. We said God has two kingdoms. There's the physical kingdom of God and the spiritual kingdom of God. Presently, physically, there is no kingdom of God anywhere. But right now, there is a spiritual kingdom of God. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The spiritual kingdom of God is the church. So this parable is not actually a parable. It is a prophecy. Mark chapter 4. This prophecy is the prophecy of the life of the church. From the planting of the church to the harvesting of the church. God, in this prophecy that we want to read in Mark chapter 4, that is what you have at the back of your book.
Everybody,
so look at it as I'm talking. God, in this parable or prophecy, is typifying the church as a plant, a corn for that matter, a specific plant. And it says the church, the kingdom of God, is like what?
The kingdom of God is like a seed.
Like a seed. Have you seen the seed? And read on. So is the kingdom of God. As if a man should do what? Cast seed into the ground. What was the seed? The seed is the original church planted on the day of Pentecost when the church of Jesus Christ started. In Acts chapter 2. That is the seed. And we said that you plant a seed, but when you're harvesting, you're not harvesting one seed. You're harvesting hundreds of fruits, if not thousands. Because there's a law of multiplication. It says that if a seed should abide alone, it will die. But if a seed should die, it does what? It brings forth much fruit. So law of multiplication requires that when you sow something in the ground, it multiplies. The law of life. So God planted the seed on the day of Pentecost. The seed died in Pergamos. We saw that last week. The third church age, Nicaea Council, Pergamos. Now, read on. Read that parable, Mark 4.
Verse 27.
And should sleep
and rise night and day.
All the day that I was sleeping, we had Pergamos, we had Thyatira, the dominating woman. The seed, the original church, all this while was under the ground. Yes. What now happens?
And the seed should spring and grow up.
He doesn't know how.
He knoweth not how.
You plant something in the ground, you even be passing there. You're not seeing anything, but one day you see something spring up. What sprang up first? Verse 28.
For the earth brought forth fruit of herself. First the blade.
First what?
The blade.
Look at your book. First the blade. And we say it is a ministry. The blade is a ministry, and that was the ministry of Martin Luther. What was going on is the restoration of the works of grace in the body of Christ. Praise the living God. The dominating woman, Thyatira, messed up all the works of grace. The formula to approach God. All the right way to be saved. The right approach to God. The due order. But bringing it back, God must restore it before God will rapture the church. And these things were prophesied. He said, the restoration will take place. It will start with first, the blade. We say this blade in Mark 4:28 is a ministry. And it is the ministry of Martin Luther. Then the next goes what?
The air.
The next is what?
Then the air.
The next is the air. John Wesley. Praise the living God.
Hallelujah.
Can you see that the plant is growing? Look at your notes. Everybody has the notes. John Wesley, the plant is what? The plant is growing. Praise the Lord. You are seeing another thing that you've not seen in Luther. Look at the top. You are seeing something. The air. Everybody that has farmed corn, you understand what is going on. Praise the Lord. Then we have what?
The full corn in the air.
Now, see the third one. You are seeing corn brought forth, right? But at this point, you cannot harvest it. Is it ripe? Are you seeing it? But the fourth stage is what? When the fruit is brought forth, you don't leave your corn there again. If you leave it there, somebody will help you eat it. Birds will finish it. Thank you. So that is what we call the restoration move of God. The restoration move of God is to let us know how God is restoring back his church that was messed up in the third church age, Pergamos, completely killed and dominated upon by Thyatira. But in Sardis, there will be a shootout, the blade. But he said, their works, he has not found it perfect. There must be an advancement, and that's what? The year. And that is what we'll see in the Philadelphia church age. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I've just said?
Yes.
We treated this for about 3 or 4 weeks. That time, many people have not joined us. It was very interesting. So we've taken this. But as time goes, maybe we'll still look into it. Now, Philadelphia. And we say it's John Wesley. John Wesley was known for what? He brought a message. What was the message?
Righteousness, holiness.
Holiness. Everybody knows what he brought. That was when there was deep holiness. One of the reasons God did not find the works of Luther perfect, they were only living by justification. Justification. History has it that Luther was a brewer of beer. Praise God. That he would brew beer. And they say he smoked pipe. Praise the living God. So there was no holiness. Once you profess Jesus, Jesus. So you can see that all manner of unbelievers can say, I'm saved. Isn't that what we have today? Everybody is professing Jesus. You believe with the heart and confess with the mouth. Sister, we trust that he's saved. You believe with the heart, you confess with mouth. You are saved. It started in the days of Luther, not today. In that rot, God brought forth a messenger with a message, restored another work of grace. Another right approach to God. You cannot say you are walking with God in unholiness. That was holiness. John Wesley brought forth the message of holiness. That was in this church age. This church age is the greatest evangelical age of all the church ages. The great evangelical age. The great evangelical age. Praise the living God. In this church age, the whole world was reached with the gospel of Jesus. That's when you have Mary Slessor that visited us in Cross River States. Even me, a Nigerian, I cannot speak Efik. I can't speak Efik. I wonder how that woman must have coped. Evoda Ubong, can you say God is great in Efik language? Let's hear you. Say it now. Why are you denying your language? Have you become too spiritual that you cannot speak your earthly language again? You only speak in tongues. Eh? So I wonder how that woman must have. Hey, have you heard people singing? Ima bong, ire re re sa. Ima mong mong. For pardon me, I'm learning. I wonder how Mary Slessor would have learned. And these people lived. Oh, she died of malaria. They lived selflessly. They were abandoned. Many of them were well-to-do. They were abandoned. There was this thing about missionary. They were abandoned whatever they are doing in their land, their comforts, and go into the bush, Africa, Asia, to go and preach the gospel. All the missionary schools, missionary visitations that we have in Nigeria, in Africa, was in this generation, this period. And not just in Africa, all over the world. We have those that went to India. William Carey went to India. The man married 3 times because he lost those 3 wives in the course of his lifetime. He lost several children on the foreign field. But today, even in India, he's honored. He brought the gospel there, translated the Bible to the language, and did all manner of things. We have, is it Taylor Hudson or something? He went to China, took the gospel to China. So many of them, American Michael, many missionaries, missionaries are actually evangelists. Many evangelists, it was in this generation that they went out, they reached the world. And they were not reaching the world with gold and silver. They went into the bush preaching the gospel. David Livingstone died on his knees praying. On the mission field, David Livingstone's hand was devoured by a lion here in Africa. David Livingstone left his practice, medical practice in England, is it England or Scotland, came to Africa to preach the gospel. He died in Africa. David Livingstone. Mary Slessor died there in Nigeria. Many of them, it was in this generation, they served God selflessly. For you to understand why the Lord Jesus is very pleased with this generation, look at verse 9, verse 8. What does it say? Revelation 3:8.
I know thy works. Mm. Behold, I have set before
thee. I have set before thee what?
An open door.
And no man can do what?
No man can shut it.
Open door signifies what? Opportunity to preach. An open door to preach. Praise the living God. We see Apostle Paul using the same language. 1 Corinthians chapter 16,
verse 9.
For a
great door and effectual.
Read from verse 8.
But I will tarry at Ephesus until
why
Pentecost.
Will he tarry at Ephesus? This is Acts chapter 19. For you to understand the statement why he said that we tarry at Ephesus. In Acts 19, one of the greatest revivals under Apostle Paul's ministry was in Ephesus. In Ephesus, that was where the Bible recorded that from the body of Paul, handkerchiefs was taken to heal the sick. It was in the same Ephesus that seven sons of Sceva went to cast out devil. We command in the name of Jesus that Paul is preaching. The Bible says the revival was so much that people that were doing all manner of magical practices, all of them came out and burnt all their talisman and magical things and professed Christ. So he said, I will tell you at Ephesus, a great door has been opened to me. That means I have an opportunity, a fertile ground, a chance to preach the gospel. So it was this age, this is the age of the open doors. The whole world, the earth was reached with the gospel more than ever before in this Philadelphian church age. Are you understanding? Many missionaries, Kare, Utsin, Slessor, many of them, there are so many. If you just missionaries, many of them, the CMS that brought gospel to Nigeria and started their schools, many of them, it was in this generation, they reached the whole world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I want to believe that the scripture that says that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world was also partially fulfilled because they reached everywhere. But in this generation, what we have is technology. Where they went with their legs and their lives, me and you will not choose to go to Pakistan to preach the gospel today. There are several people that will even be afraid to relocate to Bornu, Maiduguri. The Lord is calling three people in this place to go to Maiduguri to preach the gospel. Brother Favor, you are number one. Sister Franca, you're number two. Brother Josiah, number three. Will you go? Somebody says you will not go. But in this generation, they saw dying for Jesus as a privilege. They saw dying for Jesus as a privilege. I said, David Livingstone, read the story. He died on his knees as if he was praying. They came and discovered that his soul has passed on. Mary Slessor died of malaria here in Nigeria. Malaria. Mary Slessor. Many missionaries. This was the age of the open door. Now let's read on. The open door is the opportunity to preach the gospel, to evangelize. It says, for thou hast a little strength.
And has kept my word, and has not denied my name.
Thou hast a little strength. That means the true church was faithful to the word. He said they've kept his word and they've not denied his name. The name here was not even that they were baptizing in the name of Jesus, but rather that at that name of Jesus, Jesus was sweet to these people. This was a generation of people that were mad for Jesus. Not in this generation. In this, their own period, when you're a man of God, the people that were prominent men of God were the missionaries in this time. Not these days that we have geos that everybody, my papa, we are looking up to geos. Those days, it was these missionaries that were looked up to. Men saw it as a great calling to go and serve God. Imagine Mary Slessor, a young lady, just decided, no, I'm going to the forest of Africa. When they hear of a land that has not received the gospel, there's this thing that will be bubbling in them. Some of them had professional careers that they were doctors. They had professional careers that they were following. Of a sudden, once they hear that this place has not received the gospel, there's this thing in them, and they will go, knowing the dangers. They were not going with escort and Omar Jeep to preach the gospel. They went knowing the dangers, and many of them died for the name of Jesus. many of them died for the name of Jesus. It was this generation. So that's, he said, thou hast not denied my name, has kept my word. Thou hast a little strength. It was not, they were not going backed up by all manner of big denominations or anything. Little strength in whatever they had, they went into the field and it produced results. Praise God. Verse 9.
Behold, I will make them of, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. We say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee.
The synagogue of Satan, we saw that in chapter 2. Yes. The false church. We say in every church age, there's the true church of God and there's the false church. So this synagogue of Satan is appearing again. We saw it in Revelations 2:9. So it is a false church. Who is claiming originality? Who still falls back to the Catholic Church? It says, they lie. I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know I have loved thee. Okay? The word of my patience, verse 10. Okay, let's just stop here today. Our time is fast spent so that we don't just rush it and we take everything. So we could not finish the church ages today, but we'll finish 6 and 7 next week and move to Revelations 4, where we'll start seeing some deep prophetic things. The class, once we finish the church ages, where we are advancing to, it will be a very, very spiritual class that requires seriousness. I start seeing that I saw a throne in heaven and 24 elders. Then the name of your ministry become 24 elders ministry. I saw four beasts. Which beast are you? Don't worry, it will be very interesting. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Okay, any question? Okay, we have a question. Let's just take a question before we round off.
Praise the today. Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sir, my question goes to where you were commenting on the Antichrist mark. The marks of Antichrist.
The marks of the Antichrist.
Yeah, during
okay.
The tribulation. So you say that they are already receiving the marks.
Yes, now if you refuse to receive the mark of God,
yeah.
You will receive
so
the mark of the beast.
I want to know whether that mark is it spiritual.
That's
so
why I said.
You will not even know that you have received it. Or how
now it is spiritual. And the spiritual one is even the more deadly one because it's speaking of eternal damnation.
I have, sir.
Refusing to receive the Holy Ghost. Which is the mark of God, you receive the mark of the beast.
Automatically receive it spiritually.
Once you don't receive the mark of God, you must receive the mark of the beast.
Yes, it's on you spiritually.
Yes.
It will be on that person spiritually.
Of course, if you don't receive the Holy Ghost, will you go
to
heaven?
The person may know.
If you don't receive the Holy Ghost, you are not saved now. You have the mark of the beast. You are his. It says, if any, Romans 8:9 says, if you have not the spirit of Christ, you are what? If you are none of Christ, you are of who? You have the devil, because Ephesians 2:1 says the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. So if you are not of Christ, you are of Satan, you have the devil. So you refuse the mark of God, you get the mark of the beast. It's automatic.
So there will be no time where that mark will be shared.
That is yet future. But we are saying that the real mark of the beast is spiritual. That physical one is even small. The spiritual one is the main thing. So what we are trying to say is people that are thinking that they would stay after the rapture, then they will just decide, I should be just to die. Is it not just to die? You touch on me and I'll die for Jesus and I'll go to heaven. Instead of you to serve God, now you're saying, no, let the rapture come. I will pay through my blood. We are saying it's a wrong teaching, it's a deceit. Because the fact that you are not even serving God, now you are not receiving the Holy Ghost, you are not letting God work on you to perfect you, shows you are already receiving the mark of the beast. So that's what we are trying to debunk. Okay, Mommy Choma has a question.
No question. I just want to contribute to what you've just said. I'm trying to look at a scripture that says, it said we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, just to support what you've just told him.
So
said we have
adoption.
Received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So is that spirit of adoption that make you to become sons and daughters of God?
God.
That is the mark
so
of our Lord Jesus.
Receive, that's the mark of the Lord Jesus. If you don't receive it, you have another spirit. Okay, do you have any question online? We're not able to screen them now. Okay, praise God. All right, Father, we thank you for today. Please, how many of us were blessed today? If you truly understood what we did here, what we said, don't say to please me. Some people are not understanding. If you don't, it's so that we can bring the class down and make it simpler. We are not here to teach and show that we can talk. If you are not, if the students of a class don't understand what we are doing, then the teacher is teaching in vain. Nobody is giving us award or any applause after this class. It is, we are here to sharpen ourselves. So please, Brother Josiah has a question.
As we're teaching, you were talking about baptism, different type of baptism.
Yes.
I could not really.
Okay, we said there are three types of baptism. There's water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism, and the baptism of suffering. The word baptism actually means immersion, immersmo, to bury in something. So we are saying once you become a Christian, there's not just water baptism for you or Holy Ghost baptism. There's also the baptism of suffering. Philippians 1:29. There's the baptism of suffering. You are not only to believe on Christ, you are also to suffer for him. So every one of us, one way or the other, will add a tribulation, or we have a tribulation that we'll go through because of Christ. Every one of us, one way or the other, there's something. So that we are saying, we already have our own tribulation. There is no great tribulation coming for the church. He says, all that will live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. So we are already going through it. So why are you saying there's a great tribulation period coming? It's wrong. It's wrong. Praise the living God. When the believers were being killed and being slaughtered and dying for Christ, was it not tribulation? So why are you not telling us there's a great tribulation coming for the... So it is wrong. That's what we're just trying to say.
There is a question online from our group.
Okay.
The person said, Shalom, sir. My question is, will there be judgment after the immediate judgment for sinners, which is the accursed?
Which is the accursed?
Yes.
Will there be judgment after? Now, the Bible says it is appointed unto man to die. After death is what? The judgment is instantaneous. Where you are going to is already clear. You are condemned. But there's a judgment that is called the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is for you to know why you are going to hell and how long you will stay before you are completely annihilated. Praise God. So once you die, your place is clear. You either die condemned or you die saved. If you are condemned, you are going to hell. Then from the white throne judgment, they'll transfer you from hell to lake of fire. Just like transferring somebody from Kirikiri prison to the slaughterhouse where they will kill you. So that's the difference. But once you die, your judgment is clear, it's certain. You die an unbeliever, you die a sinner, you are condemned. But after 1,000 years of Christ, after 1,000 years and how many years you've been spending in hell, then you now appear before white throne. Then from hell, they now move you to lake of fire, frypan to fire. It shall not be our portion in Jesus' name. All right, can we share the grace? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now forever. Amen. God bless you. Greet your neighbor and say, God bless you. See you in the rapture.